I'm a little hot. Anybody back there? Ken, you can take me a little down or something. I'm coming through that monitor or something. Maybe am I coming through that monitor right there? Okay. Just bring me down a little bit. Okay. Faith Essentials. And tonight what I'm going to do is we're going to talk about how you view Jesus. All right. And I'm going through this, and I'm going to be very methodical in how I'm doing it because, you know, it's very important that the child of God knows how to live by faith. And a lot of people, man, a lot of people, believers, man, you know, they don't know how to live by faith. They just living. They just existing. You got it. And when situations and circumstances come that are out of your control, you need to know how to live by faith. All right? Now, like we said, tonight we're going to look at how I view God or how you view God. Now, I want to start off tonight by making this statement. True biblical faith is about seeing Jesus appropriately. You got it? You gotta learn how to see Jesus right. Your perception of him must be right. Now, because how you see him will determine what you receive from him. Right? How you see him. So how I see Jesus is going to determine, you got it, what I receive from him. How you see Jesus is going to determine what you receive from him. You got it? And this is why I love the kingdom of God. You got it? Because, you know, how somebody else views Jesus ain't got nothing to do with me. Right. And what I'm going to receive from him is based on how I view him. Now, and you must know that Jesus always enriches our life. You got it? He comes into our life and he makes our life better. You got it? He doesn't come to take away from our life. He comes to add to our life. You know, that's John 10:10. It says, Jesus says, the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, I have come that they might have life and that they may have that life more what? Abundantly. So when Jesus comes into my life, he enriches my life. He makes my life better. Now, if you will, go to Mark 5:35. We're going to read for a couple of verses. We're going to read Mark 5:35-43. All right. Mark 5:35-43. So how I see Jesus, you got it, it's going to determine what I receive from him. You got it? If your view of him is not right, you're not going to be able to receive. You got it? It's how you view him. All right, Mark 5:35. And it reads, it says, while yet he spake there, came from the ruler of the synagogue, how certain, which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Now, we know that what has happened up this point, you know, he was on his way to heal the daughter, but then the woman with the issue of blood came and he dealt with her situation, and now he's getting ready to move forward, and then somebody from the house comes and tell him, hey, don't bother Jesus, the girl is dead. Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Believe. So as soon as Jesus heard the negative report, he turns around, he tells the guy, he tells the ruler, he says, listen, look, what you just heard, don't let it affect you. He said, what they just said, don't let it affect you. Now, what they just said was a natural fact. Right? And this is where folks don't understand. What was just told him was a natural fact. In the natural, his daughter was dead. Jesus said, listen, don't pay attention to it. He says, based off what you hear, don't you get in fear. He says, only believe. All right? Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of Jesus. So now Jesus knows that the girl has naturally died. You got it? So he says, listen, I'm just going to take y'all three. And now you'll see some here. In other words, there's some things that you may deal with in your life that you don't need to be telling everybody. And this is what people don't understand about faith. You got it. I'm in a faith fight and you go around blabbing to everybody. Some folk you don't need to care with you. You got it? Because what they're going to do is they're going to hinder it. All right, let's continue. Let's move on. And he suffered, verse 38. And he cometh to the house of the ruler, the synagogue, and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. You got it? So now he got there, bunch of folk were there. He tell them the girl ain't dead. She sleep. They start laughing. He said, get out. He took the two people who had the most invested. Oh, my God. Catch this. No, you're going to catch this. Stop bringing folk along with you ain't got nothing invested. You got it? If anybody wanted that girl to get up, if anybody was going to believe that Jesus was going to make that girl get up, it was the mama and the daddy. Not all the folk who's saying they with you. They really ain't with you. No, I'm trying to teach you something about faith because this is why a lot of y'all mess don't work. You got it? You run around, you telling everybody everything, and everybody you telling ain't with you. They not helping the process, they hindering the process. Now let's keep going. What verse is up at? 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to what? Eat. All right? Now, so we just saw the miracle of Jesus, you got it, raising this girl from the dead. Now let's pick it up. Chapter 6. Now, because I want you to pay attention, because all that I just gave you right there, that was just gravy on the meat. I'm getting ready to give you the meat right here. You got it? Because I had to show you the full context of what's going on. Because remember now, when the scriptures are written, they're written in scrolls. You got it? So all of this is one center of thought. You got it? Just because you got chapter 6, it flows with 5. All right? Now here we go. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. All right? So he left there from raising the girl from the dead, and he went to his own folk. And his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from which hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him? And even such mighty works are wrought by his hand. Now, underline that part right there, because it says now that they knew that mighty works was wrought by his hand. In other words, they knew Jesus was doing some supernatural stuff. You got to say that he just raised somebody from the dead. Now, you know, even though he told folk not to say nothing, come on, you know everybody was talking. Listen, they knew he raised them from the dead before he even got there. You got it? Now let's keep going. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from which hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, so we got to put this in the proper perspective. You got it? Understanding that Jesus had just raised the people from the dead. You got it? Now he's in his own hometown with the people he grew up with. You got it? Now, say it says that they already knew that he had been doing mighty what? Works. So they knew that Jesus was going around doing the miraculous. Now, verse 3, when that word says that they were offended, I'm going to read it in Young's literal translation. And it says, and that they stumbled at him. You got it? So verse 3, when it makes this statement, and it says, and they were offended at him. You got it? No, it basically what this means is that they stumbled at him. So because they saw him as a carpenter, you got it? We're reading it in context. They saw him as a carpenter. They saw him as that Mary's boy. And, you know, ain't them they his brothers. Because they saw Jesus this way, this caused them to stumble. Now, verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there. He could there. Where is there? Now, I know when we start talking about there, the location of where he was at home. But I'm going to take it to a whole nother level. There was the place where they viewed him incorrectly. Because they only viewed him based on what they knew of him in the natural. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 5, and he could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few, underline that word few sick folk, and heal what? Them. So now we see Jesus went from raising the dead. Now he went from raising the dead, he just left raising a girl from the dead. To now, he's in a place where now he laying hands on a few sick folk, and those people are getting healed. Now, the shortage of the miraculous being displayed was not in him, but in how they viewed him. All right? Now, this is, we just built all the context. Raised the girl from the dead. That guy traveled all the way the way he was because he knew Jesus could do what he said he could do. He go home, folk view him based off the natural. That's Mary's boy. You got it? So now, the shortage of the miraculous wasn't in Jesus. The shortage of the miraculous was in how they viewed him. How they saw Jesus. Note, how you see him, I made the statement when we started tonight, how you see him will determine what you receive from him. You got to understand this about faith. You got, if you just see Jesus as your Savior, that's all you're going to be is saved from hell. That's all you're going to ever get. But in your natural life, you ain't going to get nothing else. Because this all you see, he's just the one that saves me from hell. That's all you're going to get because that's how you what? See him. But do you see him as your healer? Do you see him as your provider? See, it's how you see him. How you see him will determine what you receive what? From him. Your perspective, how you view the things of God, are critical to the results that your faith will produce. Got it? If you have this Sunday mentality about the things of God, it's going to be very hard for you to receive from God as it relates to your faith producing things in your natural life. It's gonna be very critical. I'm increasing my study and really beginning to look at, you know, word studies and looking at things as it really relates when you're reading the New Testament and how they really meant certain things that they said. When you see that word Lord, most of the time in the Greek or in the New Testament, it is the word Adonai, which means Adonai, you know, Adonai. Watch this, which means master. Simply, that's what it means. It means, watch this, he's master. Now, the question you got to begin to ask yourself, is he really master? No, or do you do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, but he really ain't the boss of you? Now, this is a prayer. Come on, y'all. Come on, stay with me. Now, we're talking about faith. Now, this is very critical as it relates to how your faith going to flow, because your faith is going to flow based off how you really view him. You got it? You can't call him master in your time of trouble, but in your time of plenty, you know, he just Jesus Savior. See, and this is just what, okay, this is what was really meant when he talking about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and he should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. See, double-minded means as you see him one way, one day, but the next day you see him. And this is going to affect how you receive from them. Now, this is why this is critical. It is critical when it relates to faith. You got it, because people in church are asking questions, why am I not receiving from God? But it looks like, you know, people around me, certain folks look like God always answering their stuff. God always asks, this is why I'm doing faith again, because the longer I walk in this, the better I see things. You got it? When I first started teaching faith, I didn't understand, you got it, that my faith is dependent upon how I really view Jesus. If I have a flawed view of Jesus, it's going to affect how I receive from him. So my view of him has to be right. Now, my view of him as a believer should be based off what I see of him in his word, not what I see going on in the lives of others or what I have experienced in my own life. Because whether you experience healing or not, he's still a healer. Whether you provided for or not, he's still a what? He's not just a provider because he provided for you. He was a provider if he ain't never provided for you. You got it? So I gotta have a paradigm shift. You got it? How I see him must what? Change. Okay? Now let's go a little far. Take another step. Now, all of us know that David was considered a man after God's own heart, right? All right, remember Wednesday nights, we ain't got to do it because y'all grounded. So everybody know that God considered David a man after his own what? After his own heart. Now, so let's take a snapshot look at the heart of David. You got it? Go to 2 Samuel 23. I'm going to show you something. 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23, verse 14. Remember what I said now. You got it. Your view, how you view him. You can do all the talking about how you view him all you want to. What do your actions say? The whole we're going to talk about when we get in faith. You all talking, you want. I'm telling you, I see some of y'all, talk a whole lot of good stuff, man, but then I read your Facebook post, and I'm like, wait, where'd that come from? Is that the same person? See, and it boils down to how I see him. Y'all, some of y'all need to close them things down. I mean, just post you going through and putting it all on Facebook. What you want everybody to know you going through? What's up? I don't want you. We're gonna talk about it in a few minutes. The only way I want you to know that I'm going through is if you can help me. If you can't help me, you don't need to know nothing about what's going on. I told Chris, like, I said, I'm old school. I said, I probably, you know, I'm like my daddy. Listen, my daddy used to say this. He said, Daddy say, what goes on in our house, stay in our house. He said, you better not be out there. I know he was saying that because he was doing some stuff wrong. But, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, y'all, man, folks just out there, this day that we live in, they blab everything. Everything, least fool me. Let me think you spiritual. Yeah. Yeah. 2 Samuel 23:14. Y'all get it? 2 Samuel 23. I'm like, man, And I ain't on Facebook, so I had to get Chris stuff. Let me see what's going on. And she tell me. 23:14 said, watch this now. What we're trying to do is we're going to see the heart of David. All right? 23:14. And David was then in an hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, let's get them what's going on. Now, David, you know, he held up. The Philistines, they got everything, got Bethlehem surrounded and everything. And David, he's just sitting there, just, you know, something he desired. And he just voiced it verbally. And the men that were with David overheard him. You got it? Overheard. Now, David didn't send them to go get him no water. You got it? He was just voicing a desire of his heart. Now watch what happens. Verse 16. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. You'll miss that. The drink of water was too precious for him. It belonged to the Lord. No, David said, these guys risked their lives to go get me this drink of water. It is so precious, I won't even take it. I'm going to offer it or give it to the what? Lord. Now, see, all of this goes to how David really viewed God. He was thirsty. You got most of us that got that water? Oh, boys, I really appreciate that. But David said, no, this water was too precious for me to drink. But so watch this. I'm going to offer it to the what? And we miss all over that. We miss all over that. All of that goes to how he really viewed God. Most of us, we are at the forefront of our lives, and God about 5th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. But David said, you know what? This is too precious for me. These guys could have died getting me this drink of water. But watch this. It's good enough for God. Let me give God the precious. Now, I'm trying to show you how someone could have the faith to take on Goliath because of how he viewed God. Not this, let's say the same David. Same David. This is why David could take on Goliath when everybody else was scared to take on Goliath. He could take on Goliath because of how he viewed God. Just like, it's perspective, y'all. It's how do you really view God? And he held God in such a high place in his life that he will give God what he wouldn't even take for himself. This is why he had a heart. He was a man after God's own heart. This is why he could take on Goliath when everybody else was running from Goliath. It's how he viewed God. And how you view God and how I view God is going to be critical to how we receive from him. We got to change our perspective. All right, praise the Lord. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. Glory be to God. Now, when you view him correctly, you will believe correctly, which will cause you to act in agreement with what you believe, and this is biblical faith. You got it? So it all starts with how I view him. If I view God right, I will be able to believe right. And now because I view him right and I believe right, now I can act in agreement with what I believe, which is biblical faith. But you can't believe right if your view of God is not right. How I view him, my perspective of how I see him is very critical to how my faith or how faith is going to flow in my life. Got it? It all starts with how I really see Jesus. Now, you can talk about it all you want to, because faith is a byproduct of a man's spirit. You can't hoodoo God in this. Got it? You can't trick him. If it ain't nothing there, ain't nothing going to happen. Then you can write a check, that joke going to bounce every time. you ain't get, faith produce nothing. Stand in faith for that, produce nothing. Stand in faith for this, produce, not, call ain't nothing there. See, everybody will talk, hey, you know, God, God, then it won't start saying, well, maybe God put me through the, man, I don't want to hear that. Let's go on, put it where it's supposed to be. How do you really view God? How do you see him? In the deepest part of you, how do you view him? Does he deserve the precious in your life? Or is the precious in your life reserved for you? Come on, let's talk about it. Talk about he ain't worthy of your precious. But you know why? Because that is based off how you view him. But David said, I ain't good enough for this cup of water. But God is. It's how you view him. Somebody say it's how you view him. All right, let's keep. Now, question. Let's go so I can finish up. Now, do you believe? All right, let me ask you, phrase it like this first. How many of y'all got cars that you got to put the key in and you got to turn it for it to start? All right, this is for y'all. This ain't for y'all push button folk. You know, you got your electric start. This is for people we stick still in, turn it. You got it. How many of y'all believe that if you go out there, you leave out of here right now, you stick your key in the ignition, and you turn it, that car gonna fire up? How many of y'all believe that? Y'all believe if you go out there, put the key in ignition, you got it, you turn it, and it's gonna fire up. Now, point. You can bleed at all you want to. But if you don't get up out of that seat, no, come on. I'm trying to prove a point. If you don't get up out of that seat, go to that car, put that key in ignition, and turn it, what you believe, watch this, won't impact your life. It won't impact your natural life. You got it? Because you believe if I go and do it, then it'll fire up. But you just sitting here and believing that. You got it? I sit right there and I believe. And you can sit there and believe all you want to, and you'll be sitting there all night. If you don't get up out of the chair, go put the key in the ignition, and turn it so that the car will start. Now, so in order for me to get what I believe to impact my natural life, I must act on what I believe. I got. When we gonna get in this farther next week? Now, I'm saying, you just sitting there believing it does not get that car starting so that it can impact your natural life. It doesn't do you no good. The car, if you go out there and you put the key in, you can start the car and it'll take you as far as you want to go as long as you got some gas. You got it? But if you don't get up out of your seat and go put the key in the ignition and turn it or act on what you believe, what you believe will not affect or impact your natural life. Got it? You believe it, but it's not impacting your what? You believe it, but it's not impacting your what? That's where a lot of believers are. They believe certain things, but because they're not acting, come on what they believe, what they believe is not impacting their natural what? Like, I didn't say they didn't believe it. Just believing it by itself does not get the calm. Y'all, come on, y'all. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? This is what we were talking about last week about the person that was starving to death. You got it? I got to do more than just sit stagnant and believe. I must act in agreement with what I believe, and that is true biblical faith. Watch this, that gets me results in my natural life. Got it? No acting in agreement, no results. Even though you believe it. All right, okay, praise the Lord. Now, go to Matthew 8. I'm almost done, one more point. What is my action? What am I supposed to do? That ain't not for me to ask. That's something you to ask God. Okay. No. We gonna talk about this. When they went to Jesus, you got it. And Jesus needed for them to do something that was gonna trigger or release their healing. He told them what they needed to do. When Teddy got blind, he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus told him. So now let's talk about this. Now, because I told you when you're reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you got to understand that, these books revealed the life of Jesus in the earth. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You get to see how God responds. So now watch this. If he told them, he'll tell you. But sometimes it wasn't for him to tell them to do something. Sometimes they just did something, and what they did triggered something. But in any course, you have to understand there must be some consistent action that is in agreement with what you believe. There's got to be. And this is the part where Christians get flaky. I'm going to sit there talking about Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But you don't give. You don't really believe he's your provider, because if you would, you'd be a. Because you know he's my. You don't give because you don't think he will provide. So now you got to depend on you. So I just hope you smart enough to sustain you. That's what it is. So I tell people, it don't make a difference just because you say something out of your mouth or you sing a song or you pray a prayer. The bottom line is do you believe? And if you believe, are you acting in agreement with what you say you were? Believe. Because that is what triggers, watch this, faith and release results in my life. Two sides of the same coin, the head and the what? Tail. Believe and faith, because you can't have faith if you don't believe. Same coin. You got to have both of them in order to make a purchase. You got to have the head side and the what? Tail side. You scrape off the head, you got, and you go try to take it somewhere, then they ain't going to take it. You need both sides intact. You got it? So as it relates to the kingdom of God, you need both sides intact. Yes, you need to believe. You got it? But just believing, sitting there believing, watch this, ain't going to get any results in your life. You got to begin to live in accordance with what you say you believe. And that is the walk of faith. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. What'd I say? Matthew 8, verse 5. We're going to pick it up here next week. I'm going to start at night, but we'll pick up here next week. Matthew 8. Y'all getting anything? I mean, you know, me and Chris are married. She's my wife. But that's something I can't tell her. I believe what God's saying. What God telling you? What God telling you? I don't know. Well, look like me, you need to find out. No, you need to find out what God is saying to you about your situation. You got, that's the thing about the new covenant. You ain't got to go to a priest. The Bible says you are a priest. You're kings and priests. You got, but you know what? Here's the thing, and this is what I tell people all the time. If I continually tell you something and you ignore what I say, then my voice, even though you're continually speaking, I have dulled my sense of hearing to your voice. Because I've been ignoring you so low. So you've been ignoring them for the last 3 years. But now you got a situation in your life. You can't hear. See, this is why I tell folks, this is one of the important things about being in church. Because this is one thing about God. Watch this. Even though you don't know what's coming, he does. See, my thing is just live by faith. So then when situations come up, you already in faith. You already know how to live. You ain't got nothing. You got to figure out, okay, Pastor, what's the 7 steps to get in faith? Now, you've been living like you wanted to for the past 5 years. Now you want to come ask me about 7 steps. You got it? So we got to understand, you know, this is one of the reasons why We need to consistently hear the word of God. Matthew 8, verse 5. Watch this. Now, like I said, we're going to pick this up next week. And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now, let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. I can make my point right here. Now, Scripture says that the centurion came to Jesus. All right, question. Why would the centurion come to Jesus if he did not believe Jesus could help him? Just the mere fact that he came to him, he had to believe, watch this, that Jesus could what? So watch this, him coming to Jesus was this acting in agreement with what he believed about Jesus. Just the mere fact. Because how would you, if you needed $100 to pay a bill, would you go to somebody that you know broke? Come on. You know y'all got family members that ain't never got no money. So if you got in a financial tight, would you go to them and ask them for anything? No. Why? Because they came what? So the mere fact that the centurion, you got it, came to Jesus was an act of faith. He was, y'all gonna care, he was acting on what? He believed. Glory be to God. Now. So, I'm gonna quit calling my time. Give the Lord a hand clap. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.